Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Well, the USA, with its over 5 million cases of COVID-19, including over 2 million that are active at the moment, has issued a travel warning for New Zealand. Because they have 23 active cases of COVID-19, despite the fact there are more than 2 million active cases in the US itself, where community transmission is rife. There's 23 cases in New Zealand at the moment. They haven't had a new case for over 100 days, which means COVID-19 hangs around for a long, long time, doesn't it? You don't want to get this. I know they're saying a lot of people get it just mildly, and probably that is true. That is, in fact, true. But 23 cases, they haven't had a new case in over 100 days and they've still got 23 active cases, tells you that the thing can hang around more than 3 months, can't it? As the US death toll from the pandemic surpassed 160,000, Donald Trump is looking to reopen the country and some border restrictions have been eased. But in a post on his government's travel advice website made on Friday, authorities called for increased caution when travelling to Aotearoa, or New Zealand to you. As of August 6, 2020, New Zealand has had 1,569 confirmed and probable cases. Currently, there are 23 active cases in New Zealand. Doesn't mention that there's, I don't know, what's 23 times 100,000? That's about how many there is in... The US has got about 100... It's not funny. The US has got 100,000 more cases than New Zealand. And they're issuing a travel warning to New Zealand. Guess what New Zealand's doing to the US? They're just saying, don't go there and don't come here.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Scene watch. I get sick of all the numbers about this is how many we had today and this is how many people passed away and all that sort of stuff. Let's have some positive news and find out what we're doing about curing this thing rather than counting the cost of it already. Moderna is the big one going over. And so the ones we've been speaking about is, I'll have a little chat about the Australian efforts at the moment as well. We're quite a ways behind the big ones over there in the US and the UK. But you would expect that because they've had some devastating times compared with us over there. They've had, you know, there's 5 million people that have had it in the US. And look, that's conservative numbers, I reckon. And because they're not counting everyone. You don't think they're counting everyone, do you? They've had a lot of deaths over there. The same in the UK. The UK is currently dealing with another wave. And they're investing a lot more money, as is Germany and a few others. So we're only minnows compared to them, but our problem is minuscule compared to those as well. And I'm not trying to put a bit of a positive spin on it because it's all awful. Now, Moderna is the US one. Let's have a look where they're up to. They developed vaccines based on messenger RNA to produce viral proteins in the body. They haven't brought one to market yet, but they've had a lot of money invested in them by the US government. And they're into phase three trials now, and it's been yielding promising results. Certainly the phase two trials were what you would call successful. After carrying out a phase two study, they launched phase three on July 27, so just 2 weeks ago. The final trial has enrolled 30,000 people at around 89 sites around the US. The government has bankrolled Moderna's efforts with nearly $1 billion in support. They've also contracted them for 1 billion doses of the vaccine as well. So look, the US one is definitely looking problem. Similar, the BioNTech Pfizer trial, which is we also known as the Oxford trial there, that one is looking good as well. That's in phase three as well. Trump is all over that one as well. On July 27, they announced the launch of phase three trial with 30,000 volunteers in the US, Argentina, Brazil, and Germany. The Trump administration awarded a $1.9 billion contract for 100 million doses to be delivered by December and the option to acquire 500 million more doses. Meanwhile, Japan made a deal for 120 million doses, and if approved, Pfizer, that's P-F-I-Z-E-R, Pfizer, you know those guys, said they expect to manufacture over 1.3 billion doses of their vaccine by the end of 2021. Does it sound like we're falling a little bit far down the ladder here of when we're going to get it? Well, we're probably right, but what we've got that a lot of other countries don't have is money. So I don't think we're too fat. And when you get this, when you get these first model of things, they're never as good as the second model. So here we are. This is where we are in Australia. We're a little bit far behind the rest of the G20 with their vaccine and the money we've invested in it. The Trump administration has likened vaccine distribution to the advice from cabin crew on what to do if oxygen masks are needed on your plane. You put your own on first, and then we want to help others as quickly as possible, which is fair enough, I guess. But there are some doubters of that as well. They're saying, well, the masks don't actually always just drop in first class. They drop everywhere. So the phase three trials are underway. There's no real results from the phase three trials yet, and they're only going to go a few months, which is a lot shorter than what they would normally do if we weren't in a real hurry here. So look, the Australian efforts are going as such. They're only in phase 1/phase 2 trials at the moment. The Queensland University, which is the one that's being done in conjunction with the CSIRO, the executive director of the Burnett Institute, Melbourne Infectious Diseases expert Brendan Crabb, says, I think it's looking pretty promising. It's not uncommon for the development of vaccine to take a decade or two. All of a sudden, we're looking at producing one in 6 to 12 months. The Oxford University one in collaboration with AstraZeneca and the Moderna ones are both in phase three trials, as we've just discussed. Experts say Australia's most promising candidate is the University of Queensland project, which is now only in phase one testing. We're going a lot more slowly, catchy monkey than a lot of the rest of the world. But, you know, that's not always a bad thing. As long as we can keep practicing social distancing and doing all the right things, we want to make sure we get this thing right. There's also a prospective candidate developed by Adelaide firm Vaxine, V-A-X-I-N-E, which is working with a Flinders University. That's in phase two, and they hope to be ready to go public by the end of the year. So what is it now? So we're in August now. So look, all of these vaccines are supposedly ready by the end of the year. The question is, how long till Australia gets it? If the Moderna one works, if the Oxford University one works, with both of them certainly look promising, but the only thing we haven't got is time. And we don't know, as good as those vaccines might be and as much money has been developed into them and as much money as US and the UK are spending to buy doses of that vaccine, we don't know whether that's just going to work for 3 months and that's it. Because we don't have time. The phase three trials, which technically should go for a year or more, are only going to go for a couple of months. So good news, yeah. Bad news, yeah. Paul Kelly, of course, who not that Paul Kelly, the chief medical officer, told reporters on Friday, we have vaccines in clinical trials developing well, showing that they work and they're safe. That's good news. Unfortunately, with the overseas ones, we're dealing with Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, as opposed to Barack Obama and Theresa May, who may have been a little bit more willing to help us. They're just basically more about themselves. They don't really care about the world. They, in fact, they got voted in on, you know, America first and the UK first. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens for those ones. Our one's basically just starting into phase two now, and we're hoping they're going to be as good as them. Whether we're even in line to get access to those other ones is a big question, because European countries and US countries have invested a hell of a lot more than us.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Good to see in Victoria that they're finally getting it, with the authorities down there shutting down the anti-mask protest. What is it with these people? The Flat Earth Society, are they? I see someone got hounded down by the Flat Earth Society over the weekend because someone's put stuff on their social media saying, well, with the Flat Earth Society, with all this social distancing, everyone has to stay 6 feet apart. Has anyone fallen off the edge yet? Oh, dear me. But the idiocy of that is not just limited to us. It's not just limited to the US. Unfortunately, it happens in Canada as well. A man in Canada was filmed in a drugstore, that's a chemist to you, or a pharmacy, scraping social distancing stickers off the floor. You know, the stickers you see near the checkout saying, stand here so you can stay apart. Just makes it easy for you to social distance, doesn't it? The footage taken in Niagara Falls, Ontario, So that's right near the US, so he possibly came over. I'm not discounting that possibility. Shows the man removing numerous stickers designed to keep shoppers at least 6 feet apart. Identified as Sandor Legafli, whatever, the man can be heard singing while removing the store's property to the tune of If I Had a Hammer. The great protest song. I scrape in the morning, I scrape in the evening, all over this land. And then he goes on, I scrape for justice, I scrape for freedom, I scrape for love between the brothers and the sisters. He also refused to wear a mask, is eventually confronted and told to leave by the store's manager, but the man continues removing stickers, arguing that he is fighting to liberate the people. This is someone's private property that they've put. I mean, you know, stores are private property. If they decide they don't want to serve you, that's their prerogative, isn't it? The manager eventually orders all customers to leave the store and asks another employee to call the cops. The video, which was uploaded to the YouTube channel Scrape for Truth, Scrape for Idiocy, has been poorly received. The footage has been bombarded with downvotes, which people are starting to wake up now. Even people who started off doing this are now starting to realise once they lose a relative or two that maybe there's something in this. He's only missing the tinfoil hat. Speaking with the Niagara Falls Review, he argued that his act wasn't vandalism but a case of unvandalism. I'm tired of having to go to the store, which used to be a type of therapy, and now it's a type of trauma. So it's trauma for him to see these stickers on the floor. It's just amazing. You know what, mate? Don't go there.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
We went to the good old US of A, and in Universal City, a man released by Universal City police from the city jail allegedly returned and managed to sneak into a closed courtroom and attempted to erase his criminal record. Not bad. Universal City police detective Anthony Travis said Andre Madrigal was arrested on minor warrants and released from their custody on last Saturday, but made threats to officers. He told us this ain't over. He was right. On Monday, police were called to City Hall where there was evidence of a break-in. Surveillance video showed officers that Madrigal had hidden in the men's restroom where he somehow crawled through a ceiling and made it into the closed courtroom. There were tiles basically hanging down and there was an entire tile missing. There was a piece of wall that was cut out as well. He's hidden in the toilets. And he's managed to get himself back into the courtroom when it was closed. And according to the arrest affidavit, he managed to get into the court's computer system because the password was under the keyboard. I'll just check under the key. It's like the computer equivalent of leaving your house key under the doormat. He then made his way into the court, into the court's computer system, and attempted to erase his criminal record. Not a bad effort, isn't it? He said it weren't over, and it weren't. Police said surveillance video shows Madrigal walking out of the building on Sunday morning. The affidavit says his distinct red shoes, there's a mistake, and a pair of scissors from inside the courtroom were found behind the fire department, which was next door. When police attempted to arrest him at his home, they said he tried to elude them there as well. He's a bit of a Houdini, this bloke. Inside of his house, he hid in a bunch of different places. What was he moving around in the house while they were looking for him? We cleared the residence a couple of times, and he ended up being in an area that we'd checked over and over again. But they did finally get hold of him. He probably covered himself in grease as well, so they couldn't grab him. Upgrades to the city's building security system will be made. Madrigal was released from the county jail on bond and is awaiting indictment on felony counts of burglary of a building with intent to commit theft and computer breaking of a security system. You'd think he would have wiped the video footage as well. Missed that one.